This is Eastman's Elevated Podcast. I have on great guests that are really knowledgeable, consistently successful. We're able to dive deep down the rabbit holes of these different subject matters of shooting, of physical fitness, of mental toughness and drive. All the different skills that make up a complete hunter that you can become.
Here's your host, Brian Barney.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Got a brand new Eastman's Elevated for you. So this week on the podcast, going to sit down, do a solo episode. So I'm going to record one, going to talk about, you know, what I'm working on this time of year. But I definitely want to do intentional podcasts. And so this intentional podcast is on spring black bears. So I'm going to talk about spring black bears, talk about them with archery. But of course, any of this information is useful, and I'll talk about rifle as well, as I think guys should take advantage of those opportunities, especially, you know, when they're new to bear hunting or they haven't harvested a bear yet, as bears can be a bit of a black magic. So we'll get right into it. Just want to thank a couple sponsors, and then we'll get going with the podcast. Okay, I want to thank Cutter Stabilizers. So my friend Earl Stroll started this company and saw a need for this in the archery, in the bow hunting community, as well as target archery. But he builds such great products that hold up to all the abuse I can throw at him and everybody else. Stabilizers on your bow, they can make a major difference, as you can fine-tune the hold of your bow, fine-tune the reaction of your bow, and also the follow-through. And so this has been a big part of my accuracy, is using Cutter stabilizers. So I use a 15 out front, a 12 out back. I like my back end to be a little bit heavier, so I believe I've got 10 weights or 10 ounces on the back. I've got 6 on the front, and it just holds so rock steady for me. I think it's a major advantage. So this year, when you're setting up your bows, make sure to look into going with some stabilizers where you can adjust the weights by 1 ounce, like Cutter. They have a great sidebar bracket, which a lot of us bow hunters are taking advantage of, but there's still a lot of guys that haven't tried a sidebar. Getting that weight out the side as well as the front just makes for such a good hold of the bow. So check these guys out. They're producing great stuff. And it's a great do-it-yourself company that Earl started from scratch. He's now been at it 5 years, 7 years at this company, just producing great stuff. They always stand behind it. So check them out over at Cutter Stabilizers. I also want to thank Matthews. Got that new Matthews lift shooting really good. Had my buddy Dan come down. He's got a new lift. We set that thing up. But things just absolutely shooting. They just have such great performance. Like I'm gaining, you know, like around 8 feet per second, 9 feet per second off other bow models. So getting a lot of performance out of it, as well as you know, it's just such a forgiving, good shooting bow. So getting great groups out of it, and it really seems to hold a tune once I get a tune in it. So, and also the quietest bow I've ever shot. Like I shoot around other bows, and there's a noticeable difference. So I think this gives me a real advantage shooting at axis deer, whitetails, mule deer, and antelope, as they can be real jumpy critters. So having a quiet bow is just clutch. But yeah, just a great bow. I've been using them, gosh, like probably the last 7 or 8 years now, and I'm just so impressed every year, the new model, and this year's lift is no different. It's a great bow, so if you're in the market for a new bow, make sure to go check them out, shoot all the bows, see which one fits you right, but I guarantee that Matthews is building a good one. I also want to thank Outdoor Edge. So Outdoor Edge is a replaceable blade knife. And man, this has just changed the game for me, where I don't have to bring multiple knives. I don't have to bring sharpeners. You know, I can just bring one knife and bring multiple blades. And then it's always just razor sharp, ready to do the job for me. So check them out over at Outdoor Edge. I also want to thank Black Ovis. Black Ovis is an internet retail shop that has absolutely everything you need for your next hunt. They carry all the top name brands as well as their own name brand. So you can save 10% off if you put in the promo code ELEVATED10. You also might try the extra 10 in the promo and see if you can save a bit more there. But a great company, great knowledgeable staff, and great gear. So check those guys out. And with that, over at Eastman's, yeah, you can check out our Beyond the Grids. That'll be our internet TV shows. Just search Eastman's Hunting TV. You can find those. You can check us out, Eastman's Tag Hub. So Eastman's Tag Hub, our internet research tool. So we're now billing this out monthly, so it's billed out like an Amazon or Netflix or something like that, where you always have access to it to study up and be able to learn these different states and be able to learn these different units and opportunities that are out west. So you can check that out at Tag Hub. We still have our mule deer course available. We're always adding to it. Promo code for that, BrianMDC, that'll save you 10%. And the magazines, Eastman's Bow Hunting Journal and Eastman's Hunting Journal, as well as our other podcast. You can check out that other one I do with Dan Bakar, Life of a Bow Hunter, Eastman's Bow Hunting Journal. Search that. It's on a different feed. It comes out bi-weekly, but I'm really proud at the content that we're putting out. So check that out. And with that, let's get into this podcast. So, a solo Eastman's Elevated. It's been a while, so thought I'd just hit record. But I like I was saying in the intro, like I really want to be intentional with the information that I bring you guys. So, have some notes, be organized, and have a layout, and you know, some guidance to be able to abide by. So I'm giving a talk at the Montana Bow Hunters Association. This is going to be a live talk. We're going to do it, it's the first weekend in April. I think it's like April 5th. I'm going to speak Saturday, I believe. I should have all the details. But Saturday afternoon, I think around 4 o'clock, I'm going to do like an hour and 45 minutes and going to do spring bear talk. So that's up in Great Falls, Montana. So definitely want to give you guys all the information that I'm going to talk about, and also gives me a chance to practice and brush up on my bear hunting and be able to get familiar and like kind of rehearse a talk that I'm going to give up there. So, man, I love hunting spring black bears. I love this season. It's just the ultimate adventure. And I really feel like with my bow and arrow, or any weapon for that matter, that it's like entry-level dangerous game. So, you know, I get some excitement out of it. I mean, definitely some excitement and some thrill. And I really feel like I need to be on my bow game like 100%. Like, you know, these bears can charge, especially after hit with arrows, or, you know, if you have a wounded bear or something like that, can get dangerous pretty quick. So, like, I just have to be so in tune with my hunting, so in tune with my bow, and confident and capable. And I feel like it's like the ultimate test for me. And so I love hunting spring black bears, but you know, black bears, there's not as many of them in these ranges as ungulates. Like they're, you know, they're predators. So their population densities are lower. So it can seem like a bit of a black magic while hunting these things. Like I'll have, usually by the end of the season, I can average about a bear a day, but there'll be quite a few days in there where I don't see a bear. And so it's a bit like having to do the right thing day in, day out, the right hunting techniques, the right tactics to keep theorizing, keep putting yourself in these good places, and then eventually there's a bear there. So, you know, I'm all self-taught. I started hunting bears like probably about 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And, you know, I hunted them first with my rifle and was able to get a bear with a buddy. And then, gosh, it just wasn't quite for me. But once I, you know, started taking up like hunting them with a bow, I started to get that intense like dose of adrenaline when I got a stalk on them. And, you know, I just always loved the bow and the close encounters. And so being that close to bears was really exciting to me. And so that's why I took on the challenge. And then I just fell in love with it. And I've been doing it every season since. So, yeah, like bears, like, where do we get started? So there's less of them than ungulates. So, you know, you've got to get more in tune with them. And bears, they have specific habits based on the time of year. So springtime, their numbers really get condensed, which makes them a good season to hunt for them in. And also, you know, we have cabin fever. We've been inside, or at least haven't been able to hunt for a few months now. You know, maybe you caught a late January hunt, but definitely a few months without much bow hunting going on, unless you took a big trip or something like that. So I'm always eager to get out. And I just, like, I feel like my bow hunting, like, the key to me being successful is really the amount of experience I get. Like, the amount of experience I get bow hunting, being able to travel to these different places, like, different species and different habitats. I've always told you guys that. And, you know, also, like, just being in the mountains, like, you know, trail running, I'm in the mountains and I have to be in tune and keep myself safe. But really, like horn hunting or bear hunting or, say, turkey hunting or any of this stuff. So hunting bears in the spring gave me a chance to be out in the woods in the springtime and really gain experience. And there's years, like, it's open from April 15th to June 15th. So, see, that's about 60 days. And so, you know, out of those 60 days, I get quite a few because I can go the evenings after work or weekends or take a day off here or there. And so I get quite a few days. So, you know, I might pile in an extra 20, 30 days throughout the season. So, you know, I really gain, like, a lot of experience that makes me better come deer and elk season. I mean, the other thing is bears make me really good at dialing in these mountain winds. And these mountain winds, like, if you could master one part of bow hunting, if you could take one variable out of it, if you could just take the wind out of it, the wind busts so many stalks and good encounters with all these animals we hunt. But bears can smell seven times what a bloodhound can. And bloodhound can smell thousands of times or better than humans. I can't remember if it's hundreds or thousands, but it's crazy what bears can smell. Like, they are so tuned in with this sense. Like, they can smell, like, they can tell time by scent and smell, like, when an animal walked by or when an animal came through. And, like, I like to think of a bloodhound, too. I've said this before, but they, like, during kidnappings and things, like, if somebody kidnapped somebody and they had them in their car and they drove down the road, a bloodhound a day later can track that scent that came out of that, the car vents, and track where that car drove. And a bear can smell seven times what that can smell. So, like, if you get busted, usually if I don't kill a bear, if I get busted, it's usually the wind. Now, they can also hear you, they can also see you, but they're fairly nearsighted. And so if you stop moving, even in a wide open meadow, they don't pick you up. But what bear hunting makes me better at is dialing in these winds so I'm better come deer and elk season. What bear hunting makes me better at is, like, the ability to grind, the ability to go out in days and not see bears, but keep putting forth that effort, like, keep theorizing where they're at and where the next spot is. Bear hunting makes me better at dialing in these species, like, you know, e-scouting and scouting and all these different things to find these good locations, finding vantage points. And so, you know, bear hunting really improves my skill set, especially being able to add 20 or 30 days of experience every spring chasing these things around. And they're extremely difficult. Like, I think, you know, black bears in Montana, spot and stalk with my bow and arrow, is quite possibly the one of the most difficult animals I hunt. They're just difficult. Like, you know, I don't bait. Of course, we're not allowed to here in Montana. Don't use dogs. So it's all spot and stalk. It's all glassing them up and being able to make a play on these animals. And I'd also say it, like, makes me better at closing deals. Like, a lot of these bears, like, I hardly ever see a bear close. They're always, like, miles away. And so I'm having to put on this big stalk and then this approach, and it's really high pressure, and it makes me better in those high pressure moments. And two, I've just fallen in love with hunting them in the spring. I mean, there's boars and sows, and there's color phases and size, and really a big mature boar gets me going. So I, like, love hunting these things. You know, identifying the size and sex can be tough with these bears. And so, you know, it just takes some practice and seeing a lot of pairs. And, you know, there's some stuff on the internet that can help you out. There's videos, there's pictures, but spend some time really learning how to identify these bears So first off, when I see a bear, I'm going to look to see if she's got sows or see if it's a sow with cubs. So the cubs usually won't be too far behind the mom. They'll be exploring around. I've seen it before, like in the early season. We're going to talk about the different seasons, but I've seen it before in the early season where she has them stashed in a cave or they're kind of stashed away while she's out feeding. And so you have to spend some time with these bears and be sure that she doesn't have any cubs around. So that's going to be your first tell. And then sows from boars, and they can get tricky. Like, we don't have a bait barrel to compare them by. We're just looking at them through glass. And I always carry a spotting scope when I'm hunting bears because I want to be able to take a close, better look at them to be able to identify them. Because really, I'm going for mature boars, and I want to know what they are before I make a play. So when I glass up a bear, you know, I'm going to look for mannerisms. Big bears have a waddle or a walk to them. They also have an attitude. I'm going to look at, like, the body structure and size, but that can fool you too. I've seen some good-looking body characteristics on, you know, big sow or good body characteristics, but it is a giveaway. Like, if there's no – a big bear is going to have a sagging belly. You know, a boar is going to have thicker arms, more muscly front shoulders, front forearms. And then I really dial in on the head. I think the ears are a great tell, as the ears are the same size whether they're a big bear or a small bear. So if it's a small bear and it looks like Dumbo, it's got great big ears, like I can tell it's a small bear. Other giveaways, small bear, like small chest, you know, that's also a sign of a sow as well, is she's going to be bigger in the back end than the chest, and a boar is going to be bigger in the chest and the front arms. The head, so the ears are a good giveaway. If they're small and on the sides of his head, it's probably a pretty good bear. If they're big and Dumbo size ears on the bear, then you know it's going to be a small bear. And then I look for the head size, the head shape. If it looks like kind of a German Shepherd or a long pointy nose, like that's going to be a sow. And so what I like to do is you can like draw imaginary lines between the ears and from the ears down to the nose. If it's a right triangle where all the sides are equal, you know, that's a good sign that it's a boar. So you want to see the same distance between the ears as you see from the ear to the nose. If you see a small distance in between the ears and a long distance down to the nose, so it's going to be a long triangle, that's the sign that it's a sow. So I'm looking at all these things and how this bear is walking around to be able to judge it. And, you know, black bears are not a huge animal. So, you know, it's different in all areas, like size of bear that you're looking for. And it's going to be different between all individuals of, you know, what size you're happy with. And, you know, a lot of these bears are 4.5 to 5.5 feet. And when I say 4.5 to 5.5 feet, I'm measuring, like, if you lay out the hide, I'm measuring between the two front pads. And that measurement's usually the same or roughly the same as from the tip of the nose to the end of the tail. So, you know, big Alaskan bears, and bears in BC, they're looking at 7-foot-plus bears. Now, Montana, we can grow 7-foot-plus bears, but I've killed a lot of awesome, great big bears with big skulls that are only 6 foot or 6'3", 6'5", somewhere in there. So, like, to me, what I'm looking for in a trophy boar is I want a 6-foot-plus boar. And I want a skull size that's going to be roughly like 18.5, 19 inches plus, something in there. And, you know, it's also like a good way to tell is if you can see a track of the bear. So a track will tell you the size of that bear. Basically, measure the width of the pad on the front pad. And so if it's 4 inches, you add a foot to it and it's a 5-foot bear. And it's remarkably accurate. Like when I kill bears, I measure their pad, add a foot, and that's roughly what they'll square. So, you know, if you're seeing a 5-inch pad, that's a 6-foot bear. That's a good indication it's a good size bear that you want to get a better look at. Now, sows can also go 6 feet, but most of the sows are going to be smaller in the 5-foot range. And, you know, they can get 6 foot if they're old or good genetics. But once you start to step into the 6'3", the 6'5", the 6'8", 7 foots, those are most of the time going to be boars, almost every time. So I'm looking for a trophy size bear that's 6 foot, that has an 18.5-inch plus skull. And, you know, a really good bear is going to be as filled out or as fat in the chest as he is, like, in his stomach. So, like, when you lay out a hide or a rug, he's as thick in the chest as he is in the back end. And so as I'm looking at these bears, you know, it just takes looking over them and getting a judge. And it's really tough. Medium bears can be tough. But once you see a big one, you can just tell the attitude, the size, the waddle, the head. It'll have everything. And also, like, the nose, it's like a big stovepipe coming off a round basketball head. Like, I'm always looking for these pumpkin headed boars that are really filled out. If you can see a cliff or like a wrinkle in between his eyes up on his forehead, that's usually a pretty good sign that he's got a bunch of fat up there and a great big head. So it's kind of what I'm looking for when I see these bears for me to make a play. And not to say that everybody should shoot for a 6 foot bear. I've killed a bunch of 5.5 foot boars, 18 inch skulls or so that are great boars. I've just come to the place where I really want to give myself a chance at a great big one. And so I'll kind of hold off those medium boars. And two, there can be boars that are shot at 5'3". We killed one last year. Clint killed it. Yeah, my buddy and gosh, it was like a 5.5 footer, 5'3". He had that thing aged, and it was like a teenager. It was like a really old bear, and I don't think it was regressed. That was just the size it was. And so, you know, to everybody, it's going to be different what your standards are. But really, a 5.5 foot good boar is a great boar to take. You know, if you've never killed a bear, then maybe you're just looking for like a 5 foot pluser, something like that. And, you know, I've killed a couple 5 foot bears in my career. They go smaller than that even. And it's just tricky. It just takes a lot of time looking over bears to find these big ones. But that's kind of what I'm looking for when I'm field judging. So, time of year. So it's going to be different time of year depending on where you're hunting, but the Idaho, the Montana, things of that nature, like, they really tend to come out at lower elevations first. And so as those elevations green up, those bears come out of their den. And what I notice is in the early season, I find a lot of bears in denning locations. So they'll come out from their den, they'll explore, they'll feed around a little bit, then they'll return back to their den if it gets to be gnarly weather, or they'll return back at night. And so this is like the first action in the spring with these bears, is like coming out around these denning locations. So this time of year, like, I usually, like, for me here in Montana, it's April 15th to May 1st, and those are rough guidelines, but these bears start to come outside their dens, and they're just starting to feed around, and sometimes they'll just be feeding on slopes that don't even appear to have a bunch of green grass. They're just coming out, exploring around, feeding on what they can find, going back in their dens. And so, you know, they'll run this routine for up to a couple weeks or so. And so in the beginning of the season, I'm looking in this habitat where it has denning locations. So I'm looking for steep, rocky terrains. They like I find them on a lot of south open facers, like in the rocks and in the crags. I find them in like rock slides and just real gnarly terrain. And so this early season, it can be a good chance to kill a bear because they'll be repeat offenders. They'll come out and wander around their den, but their denning location is right there. So you have a few days where they're really hanging around that den, coming out, exploring around, and so you can catch up to them and you know they're going to be in that area. So it's a pretty good time of year. You can strike out this time of year as well. But I like to go rough, rugged canyons, rocky, gnarly caves and things of this nature. And so that's what I'm going to hunt like the first couple weeks. And now then these bears will move into kind of the next phase of spring bear hunting, where they really get keyed into the food source. And so I really find that these bears, they love that bright neon green grass. And a lot of times when I sit down on a vantage point, I can pick out the greenest spot, and then that's where a bear shows up. So they're really drawn to this food source. So I, second part of the season, they get on the grass and they really get on the meadow grass. And I think this is a great time of year to kill a good boar, as they're in that meadow grass. Basically, the timber hasn't greened up yet. And so what I like to do is I like to follow the snow melt in the spring. So there's an elevation where the bears will be at, and it's usually like a few hundred feet below the snow melt, or where the snow is, where you just get the greenest grass that's coming up, and it's actually getting its water from the snow melt. And it just really greens up, and these bears like it. Call it the green wave. So as the green wave moves up the mountains, these bears move up as well or start coming out at these elevations. And so I really key in on elevation. And if I see a bear at 6,500 feet, I make note of that, and I look for other spots at 6,500 feet that are greening up the same as that one. Now, bears really like to be secluded. So it's going to be different depending on the area you're hunting, what slope you're looking at. But I know here in southwest Montana that has fairly open mountain ranges that I catch a lot of my bears on north side slopes. So I catch them on north side because there's a lot of timber and there's like these pocket parks. And these pocket parks are like little green parks or green meadows or green slides that happen on the north face. They keep fairly shaded so they don't burn off, and so they keep this real neon green color. They're also real secluded. That bear can come into that meadow and feed and disappear in the timber in seconds. So they really like these pocket parks. So I'm going to glass a lot of these. And I run this combination when I'm hunting these things. Just of master vantage points, of still hunting, and then also, it's just like the country never lays out perfectly where you can glass everything from one location. So I'm always looking for these master vantage points, but a lot of times I'm hiking up a canyon and getting, you know, like this smaller view of this canyon, but it's more secluded, good north-facing slopes and pocket parks that these bears like. So it may not be a master. I may only be looking at a few different like bear features, but it's like tucked away a little bit more. And then still hunting, like I don't do great still hunting, but I'm always making sure to have my head on a swivel, and I still hunt through some really good like open timber or like parky timber that I just can't glass from anywhere, but I can hike through and I'll see sign in there. And that's the other thing with these bears is like you're seeing fresh bear scat as you hike around, and all this is like telling you a story of where the bears are and where they're liking elevation, where they're at. When you see tracks, you can see size and know there's a bear in the area. But I'm running a combination of all these tactics, but I love this early season as they really get keyed into the grass. And as it gets later in the season, the timber starts to green up, and then, you know, these bears, they can feed anywhere. And so they can wander through, and they'll still feed parks and meadows, but they can feed through the timber as well, which can make them tougher to locate. And then into the final phase of the season is like the rut, and these boars really get moving, and they're looking for sows to breed in this, you know, late May, early June. And if you catch a boar with a sow, he'll be preoccupied, and then you can usually judge him up pretty good because he's with a sow. And I've killed some great boars that are breeding sows, or at least following them around or hanging out with them. And so, you know, the last part of the season can be a very productive part of the season. So, like, back to the tactics of hunting them, like, I really like vantage points, and I like hiking my way through these vantage points. And I will still hunt, but, you know, it's very rare that I'll still hunt a whole day. And if I'm still hunting, like, I'll pick a ridge line that I can hike down that's going to give me different viewpoints at different parks. And I may sit down for 15, 20 minutes, glass, keep moving. When I get another opening, I'll sit down and glass. And then these bears, you know, I had mentioned like the south-facing slopes here in southwest Montana with open mountain ranges, but when I travel to other places and hunt bears like western Montana, there's a lot of timber there, and I look on the north slopes and it's all timber. There's no green grass, and so the bears prefer south slopes there because their south slopes aren't as open and don't burn off, and they have like sparsely timbered south slopes, and so, you know, I spot the bears on the south slope. And I think it's important to like gain information in the area that you're hunting and then transpose that information into different areas inside that unit or inside that area. So, like, if you're seeing bears, it's like take note of it and then go to the map and try to find other areas that are similar elevation, similar parks, similar facing slopes. And then always paying attention to sign. I'll still hunt two of these vantage points. And then also, like, still hunting skitter roads works really good. Like, skitter roads are like the highways for these bears. They want the easiest route through country, and these skitter roads, they're usually through the timber, but they have to cut the timber down where the skitter road is, and so it lets light in. And so this light, it greens up these skitter roads with green grass on the edges. And so these bears love to travel them, love to feed that green grass. So if you're still hunting, it makes sense to walk down these skitter roads. And I have a bunch of skitter roads that I'll hike down and hunt. And like I say, I don't normally do an all day of still hunting, but I will still hunt to my different vantage points and then send on a vantage point. And then time on these vantage points just depends how much I can see, how confident I am in it. Do I link together vantage points? Like a lot of times I'll go to a vantage point and I'll sit for an hour, hour and a half. You know, sometimes I'll even sit a couple of hours if I can, if it's a great vantage point. But then I'll have another vantage point that I can hike or still hunt to and then set up on this vantage point so I can hit multiple vantage points in one day. So I just kind of link together country this way, start learning country, where bears like, different vantage points, and then every day is different. I can go to a master vantage point one day and not see a bear, and then the next day I can go there and there'll be two or three bears out. So it can just be fickle like this where you just have to spend your time behind your glass. And so bears usually pop in the glass because they have color, like they're usually dark colored, even though there are a lot of blonde bears around here, but they really pop in the glass. So like a pair of 10 buys is perfect for those things. You know, if you're looking farther distances, of course, you can break out the 15s. You can glass super long distances in the scope or use the scope to be able to field judge these bears up. So I kind of use like all this different glass depending on where I'm looking and how far and how close. And man, it's just like you just spend the time behind the glass and eventually these things start to pop and you start to see them. So bears, as far as time of day, like everybody has different success on the different style of hunting they like to do. So you can definitely hunt bears in the morning. I tend to hunt like later morning if I'm going to go hunt bears. So I'll start at 10 and then I'll go through middle of the day. And middle of the day is great to hunt bears. And see, it's like different throughout the season. Like in the start of the season, you know, a rainy or snowy day or miserable weather day, I won't see much. They'll be back in their dens. They won't be coming out. They'll be balled up in the timber, won't come out. But then as it gets late in the season and it's hot out, you get those rainy days where it's cooler and rainy, and those days, those bears will be out all day long. And so it's really different depending on the time of year and the season we're in. But you know, early in the season, I get sunny days and the bears come out because they've, you know, been denned up for so long, had crummy weather for so long. Now it's finally nicer. It's sunny. There's grass growing and they're out wandering around. So it's just different depending on the time of year, the temperature. But my rule of thumb is I love hunting bears in the evening. Like afternoon, evening is clutch for bears. And it doesn't always have to be last light. Like as it gets later in the season, it'll be last light because it's the cooler part of the day and they come out. But earlier in the season, like 4 to 6 is really good to me. Like these bears just start coming out like early afternoon and then start feeding around for the evening and they'll be out and about. And so it's like really different depending on the time of year. So like dial this in your notes and pay attention to when you're seeing sightings. But if you want one sure time to hunt bears, it's that afternoon, evening. And so it works out perfect for me after work or get off a little bit early, be out in the afternoon and go hunt these bears. And I catch a lot of them in the afternoon, evening. I call it bear 30. I'm not afraid to hunt middle of the day or hunt late morning. You can hunt early mornings as well, depending on the time of year. And I know guys have good success doing this. I don't really catch bears early morning too often, but what I will do is if I catch a bear in the evening in a location and I can't make it to him or not enough time or whatever the case is, I'll show up first thing in the morning and then, you know, hopefully I catch them in that same feature feeding first thing in the morning. So it's not like you can't hunt mornings or anything. I just do better later morning, or if I'm going to hunt bears that day, I'll take off midday and then I'll hunt all the way through the evening. And just my time that I can count on is that afternoon, evening for seeing these things. So, you know, finding them It is just learning this country and drainages and having ideas and going in those looking for sign, you know, and a lot of this is like elk timing. Like, you know, there's a lot of spots where these bears are, a lot of locations where these bears are using country. They're in there at certain times of the year when the timing is right. So you just have to dial that in. But I mean, basically it's just getting out and about and glassing around for these things. I live and die behind my glass. And so I really sit on these vantage points for extended periods of time. And I just glass around and I just keep, and I kind of memorize the terrain features and I kind of go through and I glass it. And then, you know, I may take a break or I'll start over and glass through it again. This is really where I turn up the majority of my bears because I can cover a lot of country. And so I'll sit on these vantage points. I'll find these different locations. And then once I find a bear, you know, then it's get the scope on him, determine what he is. Is he a shooter? And then, you know, I start looking at it, making a stalk. So if I can make it to that bear while I think he's still out in the park, then I will go for it. But these bears, they'll come out and feed, and you got to figure out what this bear is doing. If this bear is on the move and he's just cruising country, like relocating somewhere, and he's moving through one park and the next, and now he's in timber, like very rarely do I ever catch up to a bear like this unless I have a chance to cut him off or something like this. So I'll just keep my eyes on him, you know. But if a bear is coming out into these parks and feeding, he's living there. And a lot of times they'll just be living around one of these parks for a week or two at a time, or maybe even longer. Like, they really like these areas. And so if you get in there and you find piles of bear scat everywhere around the edge, it's like, oh, he's living in this park. You know, I'd be good not to bust him out of here and catch him when I have time to get to him. So when I first see a bear, what's he doing? You know, what's his size? And then I try to figure out how long he'll be out in that park. They'll feed for anywhere from, you know, 5 minutes to 2 hours. You know, usually got an hour, maybe an hour and a half, they'll be out in that park feeding. If you just saw them come out of the timber and feed out in there, if it's the afternoon, evening, they might be out there for a couple hours. And so I'm trying to judge this and how long it's going to take me to get to them. You know, if I can get to them, it's usually like a full send. Bears, you have to dial in the wind. So you guys have heard me talk about directionals and thermals and how they move through the mountains. And so, you know, my favorite wind is an evening thermal for these bears. So an evening thermal, that mountain air starts to cool as it gets shaded. It starts to drop off the hillside, find drainages in, and starts coming steady downhill. I know I've got a steady downhill wind for these bears, so I love trying to kill them in the last hour, last 2 hours of light. And that works out good for like my evening glassing for these bears as well. But you really have to dial in these directionals and thermals, and you have to have the wind right on these bears. It's everything. So you have to really dial in this wind when you're going to make a play. And so I'm taking in these variables. How long is he going to be out in the park? What's the wind doing over there? How long will it take me to get to him? And, you know, a lot of times I can't make it to these bears in time. So what I'll do is keep my eyes on them. I'll watch them go back in the timber, and then I'll go relocate closer inside striking distance of this bear. So maybe there's a vantage point that's a few hundred yards away instead of, you know, a couple miles away. And so I'll close to that spot, and then I'll watch and see if he comes out. And the same with like bedding. These bears, you know, they'll usually bed for, you know, anywhere from a half an hour to 3 hours. But usually like around a couple hours, hour and a half, they'll bed down, and then they'll come back out and they'll feed again. So if I can put myself inside striking distance, then I have like a good play on this bear when he comes back out. So I'm just trying to judge what the bear's doing, how long he's going to be out, what the wind's doing, and then the topography that I have. And bears, they're really nearsighted. So they will catch you moving, and they will spook. But if they have their head down feeding, like I've hunted a bunch of bears in wide open parks and meadows where I can just move when their head's down feeding, and they pick up their head, and I freeze, and they don't see me even though I may be 50 or 60 yards away in an open park, you know. So they are really nearsighted, but they will catch you moving. So you've got to keep an eye on their head, which direction they're pointing, and make sure you're not moving while they're up looking for danger. Bears will also stand up on their hind legs and look. If they think they've heard something or they think they've seen something, they'll pop up to get a better view of it. I've always wanted to shoot a bear that stands up on me, and I almost had the chance. Like, I've almost killed a couple boars that have stood up on me, but it just seems like when they stand up, they're so high alert trying to get a look at me that I don't want to try to draw my bow because they'll see me. But I've always wanted to try to shoot one standing. But these bears, like, they are fairly nearsighted, so you can get away with a lot of movement. Sound, you know, they won't put up with a lot of sound. I've seen bears that'll spook like a whitetail bear would, like a whitetail would at a stick cracking. And I busted a big chocolate years ago where I'd made this huge go at it. And man, I was right in bow range and I had to just walk around the limb and it was a clear broadside shot. And I just stepped on a little twig and snapped it. And that bear's head turned or snapped around and looked at me and I stayed there frozen. And then there's this classic move that bears will do where they slowly start to look away from you. And the minute they get their head turned, they just take off running. That's exactly what that bear did. And I didn't get a shot at them. So they can spook from noise. So have to be cognizant as you're moving in. You got to be quiet and really slow down your footfalls and footsteps and really pick your path to that bear. So, you know, again, like all animals we're hunting, the element of surprise is so important, you know. So you just want to keep that in mind when you're hunting these bears. They are dangerous game. So I have been charged by a couple different bears. And I've had buddies charged as well. So this is part, like, it's like really fun and thrilling to hunt them with my bow and arrow. But you also have to make sure that you're ready for an encounter. So, you know, these bears, like the worst encounters you can have are sows with cubs or like a bear protecting a carcass or if a bear, you know, like really sees you as prey or something of that nature. Now, I've had pretty good luck with black bears. But I know when I'm closing inside a couple hundred yards or inside 100 yards, it's fight or flight for these bears. So I'm trying to give these sows with cubs wide berths. I don't want to just run into them head to head and give this bear a chance. Most of the time they're going to send their cubs up a tree. Mom's going to go up a tree and I can get out of there, but I just don't want to test it. I also hunt in grizzly bear country. So, you know, a lot of these same rules apply for grizzly bears is to give them a wide berth. I'm really looking out, head on a swivel as I'm moving through country. And I know when I'm making a stalk on a bear, like getting inside that 100 yards, I could get fight or flight on this bear. Now, 9 out of 10 bears are going to go away from me and run, scared as all get out. But there is going to be that one that gets ornery or pops its jaws or comes in and investigates closer. So I'm trying to get a good shot with my bow on these things. And I also have to remember that after you hit them with a bow, they're just different than deer and elk. Like they roar like a lion, they spin and bite at the arrow, they get really aggressive. And the couple times that I have been charged had both been bears that I put an arrow in. So, you know, the first one, I'm sure I've told this story on the podcast, so apologize if it's a repeat. But yeah, there was a bear that I shot. It was like the last day of season and I caught a boar chasing a sow and I made a play on them and got over there and they were right down below me at about 50 yards. I got a good shot on that boar. It was a great big one, big pumpkin head, and big chocolate bear, just a giant bear, and put a good arrow into him. Bears, I don't shoot too close to that front shoulder. It can be too far in front. Now, a bear's vitals are a third the size of a whitetail's. So they just don't have that big of lungs and things. So it really takes precise shots. And then I like to shoot a bigger expandable broadhead on them that opens them up. They have like this longer hair that soaks in the blood. So for me, I'm shooting a big expandable. I'm opening a big cut and I'm shooting middle to middle, middle of middle on these bears. So, you know, I'm shooting, you know, I wouldn't say middle of middle. That would be like guts or something. But I am shooting a few inches back from the shoulder and really trying to put it in those vitals. Now, these bears, hit them with a big expandable. They bleed good. So I had this bear down below me 50 yards. I put a good shot, but it was more of middle than like 3-4 inches back. So definitely a good shot on a bear, and I knew I hit him good. And as soon as I hit him, he just ran to my right and kind of disappeared behind this big fir tree right there. And I never saw him escape out of there. So I knew he's right there at like 50 yards. And so I knock another arrow and I get ready and I'm just waiting. And all of a sudden I see him and he comes around the right side of the tree and he's just like gonna run up by me and he's like making a death run trying to get out of there because I've hit him pretty hard. And I think I've hit, you know, probably liver in there, you know, maybe some guts as well. But it's a good lethal shot on this bear, maybe even caught the back of a lung or something like that. But center of body, so, you know, as far as high and low, center of body, and so he's running up by me, and it's like he's going to make his death run, and I huff at him, and I'm just in the habit of huffing, because it's like when you hunt elk, you know, you mew at him to get him to stop, just a ew, and I'm hunting mule deer, you know, I'm going to grunt at him to get him to stop. And when I'm hunting bears, I kind of huff at them, you know, to make them think I'm another bear. And as soon as I huff at that bear, just a whoosh, like that, he pins his ears back and comes right at me. And I'm able to just get my bow back and send another arrow. And I always thought I'd shoot a charging bear in the front of the chest, but I actually shot this one down, like behind the head and neck. They charge with their head down and into the vitals right there and ends up turning and dying like within a few yards or whatever. It was pretty close call. So after that, I'm like, hey, man, I got to carry a pistol wherever I go. And I'm sure you guys have heard the other charge that I had where I hit a bear. And I hit him, and it was like that same scenario where I hit him good in the lungs, like 35 yards or something. But I was downhill from this bear playing the downhill thermals, and when he was hit, he spun and roared like a lion and bit at the arrow. But the country kind of filtered him right down at me, and so he didn't know I was there. He wasn't charging me, but he's coming right at me, and so I have to defend my position. So now I carry a pistol, pull it out. I shot a bunch of times. I hit him a couple times. He did end up dying, but I did not shoot the best. That's where I started to build a shooting process with my pistol. So it's important if we're going to hunt these bears, we have to make it, you know, home to our families. We have to make it out to hunt another day. And part of this is like being really on our game. That's really on our bow game, making really good shots on these bears. And it's also being really good on our pistol game. I carry a Glock 10 mil. And carry it on my hip, so I'll carry it in my pack holster. It's a paddle holster. I can carry it in my pants if I ditch my pack for a stalk. And then I really practice my draw coming into bear season. So I'm going to draw my pistol. I'm going to push at my target, acquire my sights, and then squeeze shots. And so I can do dry fire practice with my pistol of drawing and acquiring my target and really get confidence going into season. And so that's what I should have been doing on that second bear that charged me. I was able to put him down, but now I'm just practiced up way better and ready for those scenarios. So it's important if you're going to hunt these things with your bow, you got to be ready for these encounters. I've had a couple charge me. I've had buddies charge. So it can get pretty hairy pretty quick. So you need to make sure that you're ready for it. So as I'm stalking into these bears are really tough because they hardly stop moving. So I've been in bow range of a lot of different bears I wanted to shoot that just didn't stop moving and give me a shot and walk out of my life. So you really got to look for your window and then try to put that arrow in there. Just remember, it's a small vitals. I try to get closer on these bears than I would like normal animals. I think like just because it does take such a precise shot and I want to open them up. So I think the majority of my kills for bears are probably in between 30 and 50. And, you know, might have a couple in there at 60 yards and not many beyond that. So I want to get them close and put a good shot on them. And then just be ready for the chaos to ensue when you do shoot a bear. It gets wild, but that, you know, it takes quite a few days to earn a stalk on a bear that you just got to put time out there on these vantage points. And like all bow hunting, like time is just key of spending time in the woods, figuring out what's a bear feature, what does a bear park look like, where do they like it in this range, what elevation are they at, just spending your time out there and you get chances at these bears. And you know, like a big bear gets me really excited, and I do like all the color phases, and I have the majority of them, or at least most of the major ones. I've got the, you know, big jet black. I've got a big blonde that's here on this wall right behind me. And I've got chocolates, light chocolates, dark chocolates. I've got a cinnamon that was a great big cinnamon bear, had a big scar above his eye. So I love the different color phases of these bears. And, you know, I've described bear hunting before as like 99% boredom and 1% thrilling excitement. And that's pretty much what it is. Like, you're just waiting for your one chance to, like, make a play on these things, you know. And so you learn a lot throughout the season, and it's good to, like, capitalize. Definitely, you know, I like that. You know, I like the breeding season. I like the late May, early June. They can still be in the parks, but gosh, that early to mid-May is pretty money times for finding these bears, and then having them in a park where they're feeding, where I can catch up to them. So I really try to capitalize during that season. You know, I'll also get some plays in the early season coming out of their dens. I know enough canyons to go look for them where they show up, so I'll spend time in those canyons, and eventually we'll be able to turn up some bears doing that. So it's like, again, it's just like gaining that experience on these bears. And it does, it like hunting dangerous game with my bow, just it like ups the ante on everything. And it's, I've always liked hunting different species, and bears just gives me that real challenge I enjoy. In my home state of Montana, I love traveling to Idaho. And I'd love to go up in Alaska and hunt those coastal ones as well. My buddy in BC, like, they just kill some giant bears in BC and hunt them similar to us in the springtime, as these bears are, like, concentrated at elevations. And they kill, like, I was up there goat hunting with my buddy, and there was a bear on the wall. And I looked at that bear, and I honestly thought it was a grizzly bear. It was so big. And so I asked him, and he's like, no, that's our black bears. Yeah, it's like over a 7-foot black bear that was just absolutely giant. So they build them really big. And we've got good genetics, you know, here in our mountains of Montana and Idaho and different places. Like, I've heard California has some good bear hunting, but it's tough because you need a spring season, at least to hunt them in the style that we're talking about. Now, you can do this a lot in the fall as well, and I'm like an opportunistic fall bear hunter. If I still have a tag from the spring, I'll kind of keep my eyes out, and I might get a chance at a black bear in the fall as well. But I really like this time in the spring where I can really focus and concentrate on them. And I think when you're hunting bears, you know, pay attention to the food source. Food is so important. So it's just like the greener, the better. Just really look for that neon green. Really look for secluded parks. Pay attention to these skitter roads, and then pay attention to the sign as well, where these bears are at and why they're there, and really try to reason, you know, why these bears are in this area or why they're hanging out in here. And once you can find a good bear spot, you know, bears like to be around other bears. It's like other species that I hunt. But a lot of times, if I can find one bear, I can find multiple bears. And sometimes there'll be three bears in a canyon or five bears in a canyon. And so these bears, they have locations where I've never seen a bear, and I've glassed it 100 times, where it just, you know, maybe it looks good to me or it's south facer, but then there's drainages and locations where I've seen 100 bears and 100 times of being there. So there's like these bear drainages where they really like hanging out, and like your job is to really dial that in and figure out where those drainages are and vantage points to be able to see them, you know, and still hunt through, yes, still hunt the skitter roads, but really these master vantage points are going to be key for me for spot and stalking these bears. And, you know, all of this bear hunting, like, all of this applies to hunting them with a rifle as well. And it's, you know, like, I think, you know, there's a lot of opportunities out there. Like, I have to wear orange while I'm hunting them with my bow. Now, I'm such a bow hunter that I have no problem doing that, and I'm just glad I have the opportunity to hunt black bears with my bow, because, again, it's a dangerous game with a bow and arrow for me. So for me, I get a super thrill out of it, but, you know, hunting with my bow, I need more opportunities than the average rifle hunter, because I've got to get closer, and I've got to make it happen, you know, which a lot of these stalks are going to fall apart in that last 100 yards or couple 100 yards, to where with a rifle, it's a done deal. And so, you know, if you want to get your first bear under your belt, it's not a bad idea to take out your rifle and, you know, use that weapon, as a lot of these states are going to allow rifle hunting. Gives you an extended range. It also, you know, gives you the opportunity to shoot for a good boar and be able to capitalize when you find them. So nothing against hunting them with a rifle. I choose to hunt them with a bow, as it definitely is the next level for me. So maybe you get a bear down and maybe then you want to kill one with your bow, or maybe you never want to hunt them with your bow, and that's fine too. Like, it's just a great time to be out in the woods and be trying to find and locate these things. I can put on good miles, get in good mountain shape, and just go have an adventure. And it, you know, it's gotten more popular over the years, but it's still, I can get the mountains to myself in spring bear hunting. And I can also use this opportunity to learn good elk country or good mule deer country. Like, you are in the mountains exploring this country, and you get to see, like, a lot of these bulls or bucks, or, you know, maybe they're just deer and elk and they've already shed. Gives you a chance to find some shed antlers, but you get to see their spring migrational patterns, and they migrate through the same country in the spring going back up into the mountains as they do in the fall coming down out of the mountains or wintertime. So, you know, these travel corridors can be good, and it can also be good to look at different populations in the health of a mountain range while you're in there. So you can really use this time to learn these mountains as well. Let's see, big broadheads, I mentioned that. We talked over sizing of these bears. We talked over where to find them at, where to look at, the different seasons. Like, hunting that rut is pretty good, but a lot of the bears you're going to see, these bears are going to be moving and traveling. And, you know, there's just going to be some bears that you can't catch up to or you can't make a stalk on, which is tough. You've worked so hard to locate a bear, and now this one's on the move, and now you don't get a chance at him. But eventually, like, you'll catch one that's just feeding in a park, or maybe he's chasing a sow in a park, and they give you a chance to be able to get in there and make something happen. And it's really thrilling to hunt these things when you got a boar chasing a sow. I've also had the sow get pretty ornery with me, especially if you shoot the boar. They don't like that too much. So, like, I've had them stick around and pop their jaws at me, and I've had to kind of chase the sow off and even come back the next morning, you know. So, like I say, it can get sketch when you're hunting dangerous game, but it's such a great time to be in the mountains, and it's such a great challenge to be able to find these things and then execute on them. So, talked over size, talked over feed, how important those are, and then just remember they like to be secluded. I know I said that before, but bears just really like to be in one little park amongst a sea of timber where they can escape. They really like to be secluded. Like, I don't catch them on big open faces very often, sometimes on the edge of them or sometimes moving through, but they just really like to be secluded. And so, you know, sometimes I can get a master vantage point. I can look over all this immense amount of country, and I think, boy, I should see a bear here, but it's like fairly exposed country. And so I can look there and not see a bear. And then I can go in this canyon and go hike into this canyon, and maybe I can only see five parks, but it's real secluded, good bear terrain, and I'll spot a couple bears in there. So it's really important to keep that in mind, the feed, and then also keeping in mind the seclusion that they like. Elevation, again, watch that snow melt. Keep an eye on that, the green wave as it moves up the mountains, as they really like to be a few hundred feet below the snow melt. And you can catch them a bit lower too, but I really find that when I key into elevations, I do really good bear hunting. So key into that. Afternoons and evenings hunt really good, but don't be afraid of a mid-morning, and don't even be afraid of an early morning, or if you see a bear in the evening, to show up there in the morning and keep an eye on that spot and see if you can catch them again. So, man, it's like, it's really fun, good chance, good time of the year to be out there. You can pick up a tag for even an out-of-state tag for over-the-counter for here in Montana or in Idaho. And in Idaho, a lot of places, they'll give you a couple bear tags. So those are great places to go in the spring and just go explore country and spend your days out there and glass till your eyes bleed. And eventually there'll be a bear that fills up your scope or your binos that you get a chance at. So I can't wait. It opens here April 15th. So that'll be my early season. And then it really starts getting good. I think it's important too, like when you're bear hunting, I see a lot of guys burn themselves out in the early season. So I've told you to look in denning locations and rocky terrain where you can find these things. And for sure, you could turn up a bear or multiple bears in a day. But I just know it's like you can burn yourself out, and not all the bears are out every day like this time of year. So you're, I almost think like good advice is like to go out a couple times, but just don't go too hard in this early season. Really wait till the grass starts to green up and it gets right. And I have mountain ranges where, you know, I can go down to a lower elevation and find bears, but, you know, a lot of my money spots, the bears just don't come out until May or even mid-May before it gets good in there. So I just bide my time, and I've gone into these spots too early before and just spent so many days and so many hours glassing, and it's just not right. Like, you have to wait till the timing's right in your location, till the grass is greened up, till all the bears are out of their den, till they're focused on the food source. So I think like good advice is like, don't burn yourself out. And really, if you're planning days to go spring bear hunting, you know, plan them towards the middle or the end of the season, more so than the beginning, and not, you know, get out there a couple days in the beginning. But I just see guys like go out there for a week or two straight trying to catch bears and don't get any sightings, get burned out, and then they're not bear hunting by the time bear hunting gets good. So like save your time, bide your time, wait till it's good, wait till all the bears are out, wait till they're on the grass is greened up, wait for the conditions to be right, because I have burned so much energy and time trying to go too early in spots and catch it right. So like, just be cognizant of that as you're planning your bear season as well. And, man, that's it. That's the bear episode. I think it's a good one. It's like, really fun to get out and hunt these things. So hope you guys get out this spring for some good adventures, and then just appreciate all the support on the podcast. So going to definitely be putting these out on deer and elk and antelope, and maybe even a early season deer, a late season deer, and really try to get this information out to you guys, as well as having good guests on. So I really like having these solo podcasts. I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not repeating myself too much, as I talk a lot like about the processes and what I'm working on that time of year. And it's always like, oh, I'm running and I'm shooting my bow and I'm lifting this and I map research that, which I think is like crucial, critical information and super important and all the stuff you guys should be working on. But it just seems like my solos turn into those quite a bit. And so like, I want to make sure that I'm intentional with the information that I'm putting out there when I do record these things. So like, today's a bear episode, or do a backpacking episode, or whatever the case is. So, yeah, that's the plan, and we'll try to keep to it. Man, everything's going good. I'm in for a bunch of tags out west. Can't wait to see the draws come out in some of these things and starting to put a season together. And I'm really excited for hunting spring black bears. And then, yeah, training's been going great. Been running, and then I got a good trip in with my buddy Dylan. We set up the wall tent, went fly fishing, fishing streamers there for about 3 days, and was able to catch my personal best, which was just awesome. So, yeah, been having fun doing that, and trail running the mountains, and then, yeah, just getting ready here for bear season and applying for tags and tag research and things of that nature. But all good from my side, still working construction and getting things done on the job site. So yeah, it's keeping me busy as well. So yeah, just managing, and good family time here lately, like really spending good quality time with the girls, which is good. And just getting ready for another full season. I can't wait. So I'm sure you guys are doing the same. Good hunting on all your adventures this year, including your bear hunting. So get after these things, go have some fun. And with that, I'll check in with you guys next week.